This idea of blessing is so fundamental to the Hebrew Scriptures, to the whole witness of the Old Testament. It's not a sense of what we have to do. It's this sense of God's initiative. The God is the one who is acting in human history to bring blessing to the first couple, to Adam and Eve, to bring blessing to Abraham, to allow Abraham to then be a blessing for all of the nations. That God wants to be in this relationship where we experience the fullness of life, the Beatitudes that Jesus teaches to us are not a replacement to the Ten Commandments. They're not things that we have to become in order to conform ourselves to God. It's this recognition of what is already happening in our lives. It's this sense of the God who's always the one taking the initiative, the God who's leading us into this fullness of life, this experience of wonder. The word Makarios is the word in the Greek. And it comes from the experience that the Greek philosophers had about the island of Cyprus. And they said, Cyprus is so full of natural resources, natural abundance. You can do everything you can possibly imagine. There's enough of everything there on the island that you never need to leave the shores of that place. Everything you could ever want, everything you could ever imagine is able to be contained there. And so they said, they called it the Happy Island, the place where you were able to experience just the fullness of life there. And so this idea of blessing can be a very Christian sort of centric idea. And so it's really hard to find an adequate word to describe that, to translate this idea of Makarios, this sense of what God is doing. But it's important to remember that this is the initiative of the Lord. It's not us striving and struggling to try and conform ourselves to fit into a certain schema in order that God will indeed bless us. But no, it's this recognition. How fortunate you are. Wonderful news. So Bishop Tom Wright describes or translates this passage. Wonderful news for those of you who are poor. And it's that sense of being absolutely destitute. You've got nothing at all that you can cling to. But if you're able to experience that, if you recognize within yourself there is this poverty of spirit, there is this inability to be able to defend your life, to be able to stand before people and say, yes, look at all these wonderful things that I've done. Look at all these accomplishments and achievements that I can mark off and say, yes, all of these things are amazing and I can point to them and say, yes, these are the reasons that I should be blessed. These are the reasons that I should ascend in my job or in my workplace or my family or whatever it is. But it's those who are able to say, I have nothing that I can point to. I have all I have is this sense of emptiness. And so from that place, I have to surrender. And if we can do that, then we can begin to experience this blessing of God. If we can recognize that I can't do this, I am empty. But it's in that emptiness, it's in that vulnerability that we're then able to make space for God. And that's the foundation then for the whole series of the Beatitudes that Jesus preaches to us at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. As the crowds are gathered there and the end of the previous chapter, the end of chapter 4, we're told the kinds of people that are gathering there around the presence of Jesus. They're not the rich, they're not the famous, they're from all kinds of different backgrounds, but it's the poor, it's the lame, it's the crippled, it's those who know their desperate need of God. People who were mourning, people who were gentle, people who weren't able to stand on anything of their own, people who were persecuted, people who had experienced that poverty of life, people who were able to draw near to Jesus. As he goes up on the mountain, and we're told the disciples, those who want to listen, those who want to learn. That's all that a disciple ever is, someone who is a student, someone who hasn't necessarily got it all right yet, not someone who hasn't perfected all of this, but someone who's willing to try, someone who wants to learn. And the disciples drew near to Jesus. They gathered close to him, because that's where we begin to experience this blessing, this Makarios. That's where we begin to encounter the Lord, by simply drawing near to him and sitting at his feet, letting his words slowly change our minds, our thoughts, our attitudes, so that we can begin this renewing of our mind, as St. Paul tells us in the letter to the Romans, this transformation of our minds and hearts, as we slowly recognize that God is the one who's taking this initiative. God is the one who is inviting us into life. To the extent, to the degree that we do that, to the opening of the wonder of God, then indeed we are already blessed. We have already experienced this fullness of life. So again, it's not the sense of what the way that we must conform ourselves to squeeze our lives to find some way that we can be better. It's in recognizing the action of God that's already present in my life. That God is the one who's always working, the one who's always taking the initiative. That God is the one who's inviting us into this fullness of life. And it's in recognizing that, it's in realizing that God is the one who's already doing this. God is the one who's already inviting. God is the one who's already creating these new possibilities, this life for us. Then thanks be to God, we are already blessed. We're already receiving the good news for the poor, for the meek, for the gentle, for the lowly, that we are the ones that God is inviting more fully and more deeply into this encounter with God. So let's indeed give thanks and praise the Lord for all that he has done, for the wonders of his love, and that God is the one who blesses us and invites us into life today.